Hey there, welcome Montreal to your friends, the Audio Pen Pals. We are right here in the studio coming at you from Montreal at CJLO. And my name is DJ Grills.
Mine's a DJ Gundam Seed Destiny.
And we have a very, very special episode for you today. We are joined in the studio from our friend Megan from A-Linker. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're really happy to have you. As we may have let you know in our last episode, A-Linker is a program that we're going to learn a lot more about today, and they're doing a lot in terms of accessibility here in Montreal, so we're very, very lucky to have our guest join us here for that today. So our warmest welcome to you, Em.
Thank you.
So for our guests who are not aware yet, would you mind giving us a little bit of background on what A-Linker is and your role within it?
Absolutely. So the A-Linker itself is a walk assist that you use with your feet to move forward. This is used, depending on the person, for a variety of things. First, it's about really focusing on active living and wellness. So just recognizing that it's better to constantly be in motion and support a healthy lifestyle. For other people, they might use it for rehabilitation purposes after an operation or an injury. Other people might use it for weight loss purposes as well to practice that, or if you have limited mobility. But our goal is that this is accessible to everyone. There's a lot of stigma that's kind of wrapped up in the world of walk assist, wheelchairs, and a treatment of second-class citizenship. And the fact that it looks really cool, it gets people really engaged, makes everyone really an advocate if they have one. But as a result, they kind of build more confidence in that way. So the A-Linker itself is but a walk assist, but our community is really what the A-Linker is all about. Yeah, briefly.
Oh, great. Hey, Peter, what do you think about that?
It sounds interested.
It does indeed. Now, I went to the website, which is it alinker.ca.com?
A-Linker.com.
A-Linker.com, and I saw a video of the device itself in motion, and I wanted one right away.
Yeah, it's absolutely a great device. I have one myself, and I absolutely cannot wait for the summertime to be able to take it around in parks with 45 centimeters of snow. In Montreal, that fell. It's not exactly ideal. That's where we test our ski add-ons for sure. But it's a blast to ride.
Yeah, it's a blast to ride, you say. Well, what's it like to have a job like this?
Oh, right, I should talk about my title. I'm in charge of communications. I'm the communications coordinator. So my job is a lot of things. I talk to the community mainly. That's what I'm doing right now, to kind of see what we're missing. We're a constantly growing company, and we really want to make sure that we're facilitating our users and that they feel heard. So I think the biggest part of my job is just advocacy, and making sure that the users feel heard, that I'm representing them well, and also trying to change people's thinking. We're trying to change the way that we talk about healthcare systems, as opposed to investing in illness and kind of going down that route of something that's really stagnant and you're not necessarily getting better. We're hoping to change that and to show that people can actually get their agency back. So it's a lot of talking, mainly.
You were saying how people with that have operations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of that, mm-hmm. I was one of them. I had an operation a couple years ago, a big one, mm-hmm. and I had open heart surgery.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and I can see where people are coming from that point of view,
mm-hmm.
because it's not a good point in their lives,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You want people to actually say, okay, when's this going to be over? When is it not going to hurt in your life?
Mm-hmm.
When is it not going to, when can I do something?
Mm-hmm.
Or when can I physically do something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't really do much for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell yourself, yeah, you don't want to eat. You don't want to do anything.
Absolutely.
You just want to sit there and do nothing for yourself. And all you do is feel sorry for yourself. And people are, oh, it's not that bad what mm-hmm. happened to you. You're still alive, people mm-hmm. tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you that had the operation always feel bad for yourself.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a really good point about being dismissed in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
your experience being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And many people think it's an isolated incident, like an accident or a surgery is a one-day thing, when really your body is dealing with the repercussions of that.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is dealing with that. To recognize your limitations and to feel like your agency is being tested and taken away is a really, really hard thing. I'm a survivor, and so I remember the moment where I got my agency back and I was able to practice that. And I'm so grateful because my job is facilitating people's agency.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get emails on the daily saying, I had an accident 4 years ago. I haven't been able to walk. And with the A-linker now, I can run in a park with my dog. Thank you for changing my life. And I'm just so lucky to be on the receiving end of that and help in any way possible.
That's how, like, I feel now. Even now, to this day, I still feel I can't wear some of my clothes because of it. It hurts so bad. Like, I can't wear some of the seatbelts they put in the taxis or some of the, like, if it touches me, it hurts because of the scarring they did.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, some of the scarring that's on me right now, I say, like, I got multiple scarrings, but I even had one that's over here,
on your inner arm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a biopsy that they took, because they wanted to make sure that I wouldn't pass it to my children.
Mm.
And I'm like, you gotta be joking. You know, you say, so I pass it to my children.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not the one. I don't want children, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say I don't want children. Let's say I do. So what?
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, it happens.
Absolutely. It can just feel like it's never ending
yes.
at a certain point.
And then
shifts.
And, okay, yes, it's hereditary. Okay, it happened because my mother's side had it.
Yeah.
Okay, everything I have is because my mother's side had it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because I just imagined they had it.
Absolutely. And that can be harder sometimes, too, because you kind of feel like it happened to you
mm-hmm.
as opposed to you practicing it. And it can kind of, you can feel disconnected from your body and also your situation.
But my mother always said to herself that she blamed herself for it.
Mm.
And I'm like, it's not your... When I always talked to her, I always said to her that it wasn't her fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not her fault. She couldn't say, oh, that if I was born after my
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters, that who knows
yeah.
what would have happened 10 years later.
Exactly. It's all a matter of chance. And I think also you're bringing up a really important point that when these things happen, it's kind of as if we have to justify what's going on. I was diagnosed with 2 chronic illnesses, and it felt like I almost had to apologize for having that, when really I didn't have any control
over it. I always look at it like this. I look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always apologize for what you have.
Absolutely.
You've got to go forward in life.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful way to go about
and
it.
And
you've gotta
go forward in life, because if you go backwards, you're always going to feel sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't today I did something wrong, so now I gotta apologize to the world because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I made a mistake on my history test. I gotta apologize to the world for that.
Exactly. It has to stop at a certain point.
You know, just because we people, I don't know how to say it really,
mm-hmm.
but we people, us people that can't really do much, you know, we have to stop apologizing for our doings.
Absolutely, and I don't think it's a matter of not doing much. I think you might just do something differently, and you get some resistance.
As my tutor would say, we learn in our own way. We all learn.
Amen.
We all learn in our own way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Some of us might learn faster, some of us might learn slower, but we all learn differently.
Absolutely.
And some of us know math better than others.
Mm-hmm. We all have our different strengths.
And some of us know how to knit better.
Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people, I'll tell you right now.
Some of us know how to do biology good.
Mm-hmm. It's about finding your strengths and a way to get there.
And a way to get there is by looking at it as a mountain. If you look at a mountain, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm. One step at a time.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the mountain is the way to do it, because the mountain is telling you, you got one, you got like a, I don't know, 1,000 mountains, and you're going to get there someday.
Yeah. You have a path kind of laid out. It's about finding your own way to get there, too.
It's like a path. The mountain is a path.
For sure. For sure. I think that something that's very similar with all the people that are part of our Ilinker community is that they're always advocates of people that are willing to say no to the status quo. They're told that their chronic illness or their disability is going to prevent them from living their life to their best, and all of them are willing to say, no, I don't believe you.
Like me, I have a chronic illness. I have I have seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this weekend I had a seizure this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I had a seizure on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and then, but I didn't say, oh, just because I had a seizure, I didn't just say to myself, oh no, I'm not gonna have nobody over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna let it go and have the person over.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the way I see you. If you always put yourself forward and not two steps backwards,
mm-hmm.
You're never going to learn from that mistake.
Mm-hmm. But you're also talking about an amazing perspective. And
right.
You decide to use it as saying, I'm going to find a way of reinforcing myself in this. As opposed to feeling like it's happening to you. Say, you know what? It's going to happen anyway, but I'm pretty cool and I'm going to get past it. And that's great. That resilience is probably what we try and encourage.
I'm just going to strive for a new point in life.
Yes. Yes. Go for it.
Like, I found a new resilience to work around it.
Mm-hmm. Or work with it, I think,
yeah.
is also the thing. Once you stop resisting,
mm-hmm.
and you can say, you know what, this is something that I'll have to learn to walk with, to live with. How can I make it my strength?
I've been living with this since I was a year old.
Mm.
And so I haven't stopped having seizures since I was, 13 years old.
Oh my goodness.
And so when I was about 13, they found a new drug for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they found that new drug, it's been working well.
Mm-hmm.
But only to the point where I won't have seizures. If I take them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't take them, then that's a different story.
Exactly. And it can be really tough in terms of different treatments. Like when I talk to some of the people that have used the Ilinker, they'll say that it's the 7th tool that they've tried. And most people are just told, you know what, you'll sit in a wheelchair and just get used to that idea. You won't be mobile. You won't go anywhere. And it's a hard reality to kind of feel like you have this stick in the road.
I knew my grandmother was a wheelchair user.
Mm-hmm.
She was a wheelchair user until she was a non-talker. My grandmother stopped talking after she had multiple strokes. She had to use a wheelchair, she had to use a walker. The only thing is, they didn't make wheelchairs big enough for her. We had to customize it and everything for her because, you know, big people don't make wheelchairs big enough for them. This is where I said, you know, they have to start making bigger chairs for bigger people.
Absolutely. Actually, the Alinker, we're working on it now as well, where we have three different sizes, but we want to be able to offer access to people, especially if they're trying to do it for weight loss reasons, or even if it's just because they have limited mobility. It's all about representation, for sure.
This is what I don't understand, is that my grandmother was a big person, but she couldn't fit in her wheelchair that well, and my aunts and uncles and my mother had to subsidize and buy her a new one. And that money came from my grandmother. But it's like, you know, buying a wheelchair for somebody big is not, you don't think about it.
No, it's not considered. And I think that this is something that we really want to focus on, like buildings being quote-unquote accessible does not mean that I have to contact security and be walked in with a wheelchair as if I'm a criminal, as if I've done something badly. I don't see that as, it might be physically quote-unquote accessible, but it's not inclusive. And this is where we have to have that conversation.
It's like when I'm in a taxi sometimes, okay? Okay. They don't understand how, like the trucks, the car, the trucks of the van of the taxi, sometimes is not accessible to us.
Absolutely not.
It's not.
No.
Because you need to, like, they need to actually get, like, when they were bringing me here, they had to put another seatbelt, an extra seatbelt, just to, so it would fit me.
Yeah.
This is the Audio Pen Pals. I am your host, DJ Big Peter.
This is Claudia Rocks. And DJ Gundam C Destiny has stepped out for a minute.
And this is DJ Jerry.
And we got one more DJ.
This is DJ Tam. Today we're joined by Megan, or M, from A-Linker.
I feel like I need a DJ name now. I feel so out of the loop.
Give yourself a DJ name.
I'll work on it. Let's see.
Well, you can give yourself M, or...
Let's go with DJ M for now. I'm cool with that.
Okay. Anyway, so as we were saying, we were talking about how the taxi is not accessible.
Well, especially now, like with this winter, I spoke with Jody, who's a great advocate for accessibility in Montreal, part of the No Accessive movement, and was just telling me the process in terms of even just booking paratransit, where you have to plan your life 3 days ahead of time, and that's if the weather agrees with you. So right now, I just see it as it's completely impossible
right now,
so much snow.
Like today, you can't book a taxi today.
No, forget about it. And you just become isolated in those moments, right? And that's something that we don't think about. We talk about accessibility of buildings, but there's also accessibility of resources.
Like right now, for today, you can't book one, but you can book one tomorrow and Saturday.
Again, you have to, who knows what they're eating 3 days from now, let alone where they're going to have to travel to. It's just a lot of hoops to go through.
Like, I just don't like the fact that, okay, like, if we need to go somewhere, then, and we're stuck somewhere, okay, yes, I have my dad, it's a good thing, but not everybody has their parents to fall back on.
Exactly. And I think there's also, in terms of independence, that's probably one of the top things that we hear from people who use the A-Linker, is that they finally feel like they can do something without having to rely on someone else. And it's the small things. We're not talking about making big trips out, because you can organize that stuff. We're talking about just taking care of laundry, just going to pick up the mailbox, or like the mail at the end of the street. You know, it becomes really hard when you can't even take care of yourself in those small ways. And it can just carry a lot of weight, and I think that's also something that people don't realize.
Yeah, but some things that people don't realize. Okay, not everybody not everybody has the moment where they can, like, get out of bed and just say, I'm going to go and get my taxi today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Taxi might not even show up.
Totally. And it's then everything's kind of at a standstill.
Yeah, that's definitely happened more than a few times to us. Right, Claudia?
Yeah. Oh, this is one time.
We've already talked about that, like, a lot of times on the show, but the taxi was really late.
No. I have to say this because... Yeah. If you don't want me to, I won't.
Yeah, let's not go into it.
Okay.
Yeah, Montreal transportation.
Anyway,
let me tell you.
Anyways, we won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But
I got a little frustrated. I don't want to go into it.
No, that's for a separate podcast. It's for a separate one, just about Montreal transportation.
So there was one time where the taxi was late on me, and I was like, okay, so I said, you know what? I'm just going to cancel it because, you know, no point in going in for, I'm supposed to be there at 9:15 and you're there and then you get in by 11, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's like, you know.
It's just so many hurdles and do you have energy at the end of the day?
What do you want to do after that? Mm. And then you're supposed to go home at 2:30.
For sure. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's those big gaps. Like, waiting around for half an hour for transport to maybe show up is just a ridiculous process to go through daily.
Daily.
There was a time when the day center was closed, and it was girl's first day there, and I had called them afterwards to tell them, oh, it's canceled. And I'm like, okay. I called him to tell him it's canceled. My boss calls me to tell me it's canceled back there. And I'm like, so now you call me after taxi shows up? It's like,
it's too many pieces. Like
taxi showed up. I told taxi, never mind, I'm not going. And then I called Grills to tell him not to go in because it's canceled.
You know, I'm actually happy that I ended up going in when it was closed because I got to meet my supervisors who were wonderful and they took me on a little tour of the building. So there's a silver lining.
There you go. At least we could find some version of a silver lining in that. But it's really just a domino effect. And I think this is where people have to realize people are living their lives with huge inconveniences where they basically just feel erased. They don't feel considered. But they're not part of the conversation. And it's such a heavy weight. And it's invisible also.
The thing that I like about taxis sometimes is that, okay, yes, you could, you know. But one thing I don't like is that for the elderly, they don't understand that, okay, this person can get hurt, that person can get hurt, and this person.
Absolutely.
So they don't realize that. They should hold the person before they go.
But also asking. Yes. That's another thing. We have a lot of people that I've spoken to.
Like one time I saw a taxi driver, he just left her there and she almost fell.
Yeah, it's lack of knowledge, right? And also a big part of this is that a lot of people are afraid to make mistakes. And so they treat it from a place of fear. They walk into it kind of not knowing what the person is about, not knowing, like, even if we're talking about using pronouns, for instance, or if we're talking about how to talk about chronic illness or an accident or something, people are very afraid. And something that I try to do in my job is show that mistakes will be made no matter what, but like, we have to grow comfortable with that, right?
I'm not going
to
say who the person is, but I know this person, and she's like prone to falling all the time. And I'm like, okay, but you got to watch her because you got to make sure she's holding on to something. Okay. And the worst part is that if she's not holding on to something, then, or a taxi driver, she's going to be landing on her face.
Of course. And then you just don't feel safe.
And then one time the taxi driver just left her right near the door. And then, like, and he says, "I'll be back." "Are you crazy?" I said.
Yeah, like, there has to be more resources available. And said, not okay, just a hodgepodge, like, you know?
Bring a walker or bring something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, they should have something in their taxi to at least hold them back.
Mm-hmm. But they should also be trained. It shouldn't be a guessing game. And no. So many people end up, like in the medical system, end up having to teach their doctor more about their chronic illness than vice versa.
I just said, you know, there should be... if they want to be with us, they have to have a medical degree, I say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But also one that's up to date,
yeah, I think,
and fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's super tricky.
Because, you know, okay, with me, all you do is lie me on the floor and I'll be fine after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But with somebody that just falls, you know...
You're not sure how to manage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because they can't get themselves up.
No.
Especially if
not.
You have somebody like Pete, mm-hmm, get up. You won't be able to get him up after. You need somebody strong.
For sure. And that all those moments of lack of security that you're bringing up, it's why a lot of people simply stop doing things. Because they can't afford the risk. Because it's not just a matter of, oh, I'm going to wait for a taxi for 30 minutes. It's, I'm going to wait for a taxi for 30 minutes in the cold. I don't know if I'm going to have my balance. I don't know if I'm going to get there safely. I don't know what happens afterwards. And it's so tiring that you have to plan every minute of your day ahead of time. And what I appreciate about the people in the A-Linker community, and also what the A-Linker does, is it affords people a certain sense of security that they don't have to also rely on an external party to do it. They are kind of in control. They're in the driver's seat of their life, and it's something that a lot of people experience losing.
What does the A-Linker device do in the snow, might I ask?
Oh, in the snow. My answer to that is it depends on what kind of snow, as we're learning in Montreal. But it moves pretty smoothly. We've also recently found some ski extensions that you can actually put to the tire so you can move forward. So it is quite manageable, and especially with all these puddles and black ice and all that garbage, it works relatively smoothly. It takes about the same space as a wheelchair would, and it's also foldable, so you can put it in your car, you can pack it on a trip, I've taken it on the STM and made a lot of friends in the process. But it does pretty well. Yeah.
That sounds super cool.
I appreciate it.
So you mentioned it was foldable, right?
Yes.
Like, how small can you get it down to?
Good question. I'm going to be working with invisible angles here. It's definitely, you can carry it. You can take off the tires as well, put them on the side. The seat is adjustable, the handles as well. And this is where it depends on what you're using it for. Like, some people might have one leg that's stronger than the other, so we have a rest where they can put that on. Other people, depending on their arm mobility, where they're at, if they can have a grip on it or if they prefer to lean. So it can really accommodate you in any kind of situation, which is just really nice, because then again, you have a bit more freedom. If it's just a matter of sitting comfortably, we use a lot of museums, for instance. Instead of having wheelchairs where you're kind of hunched over, you're at eye level one, which is probably my favorite part of the whole thing, because people are talking with you, not at you, or not about you to someone else who's taller, for instance. But also, you can just kind of move freely. It's very comfortable. It's similar to a bike. It does take a bit of adjusting, just like it does on a bike. You also work a lot of muscles that you didn't know you have. I became a lot more fit after the first month because I just felt burning in places I didn't know existed. But it's pretty compact. It can definitely be compact. And like I mentioned, we're working on a newer version, so maybe it'll be pocket size by the end of it. Who knows? We'll work it out.
Yeah, I imagine it must be especially good in museums because of how art is often laid out in a way that accommodates for only people that are standing up.
Exactly, and usually in huge halls, and we try and consider people's energy level. How many spoons are you walking in with? Already, you have to consider that you booked paratransit. You had to be escorted by security, probably, because there's no elevator or it's half working. So to kind of walk around through the entire museum and pause every 10 minutes, if you have a cane also, that's painful. If you have crutches, that's painful. So with this kind of thing, you can simply just sit and be at ease and not have to constantly be strenuous. And you can also... Yeah, exactly. You don't have to always walk fast. Like a museum, people take their time.
I don't walk as fast anywhere I go.
Mm-hmm. You can also, it's a lot of fun to run with the A-Linker. I'm not going to lie. It's really cool. It's also yellow, so people can see you from very far. And yeah. It's also good for all those drivers, especially in Montreal, that are a bit creative, let's say. They're creative. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really great to use in all different kinds of settings.
What is the A-Linker?
The A-Linker is a walk assist. That's generally how we summarize it.
So it's like a bike and you could walk with it.
Exactly. It's like a tricycle, but you use your feet. That's how I describe it. So we have two in the front and one small one in the back. So you can actually use your full leg to swing it forward. We're trying down the line to work with, hopefully, insurance companies. But the trick there, and why we also refer to ourselves as kind of a, it's more of a state of mind, is because we have to deconstruct what we do when we talk about the healthcare system. A lot of people are just put on these tracks that involve medication, that involve aggressive treatments, none of which actually bring the health back. They more keep the illness stagnant, or they're just trying to run out the clock while you're still paying for your medical expenses. So we really want to show what it looks like to invest in health. And so we have a diary keepers program where we offer people an A-Linker in exchange for their kind of daily logs of how the A-Linker is working, what they do, so that we can prove this to medical facilities and say, see, we've actually seen what it looks like to change someone's life instead of pumping out medication and making it a business, giving people the agency and the practice to have access in their own health, to be a part of their own kind of timeline, which I think a lot of medical institutions don't allow for. They kind of just shrug it off and say, just get used to life being this way. So it's just a really cool job. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I just talked to a lot of amazing people that are really inspiring. They kind of shake things up. They're always looking to help other people out and show the A-Linker. They started doing like meetups where people go on walks together in the park on their A-Linkers, and they look like a really cool crew. I told them they should get jackets. So it's a lot of fun.
Is it safe to go uphill or downhill with it?
Well, my answer to that is if you're a safe rider, for sure. Same as a bike. Like, you wouldn't do anything extravagant. I don't think you're going to start riding it on your hands unless you're supervised. But it's definitely safe on most terrains. It's just a matter of respecting your own limits. And they can change on a daily basis, as chronic illnesses will let you know. So I think it's just a matter of trusting your body, taking it easy. A lot of people get very excited and kind of want to do everything at once, and I love their energy, but it's definitely a matter of, it's a tool. If you want to use it, it can definitely work for you. Not for everyone, but it definitely can if you're willing to see the benefits.
Is it safer to use than a tricycle?
Interesting.
Because I was told it's not safe to go downhill with a tricycle or try going uphill with it.
Right. We have a brake on ours, which makes it a lot easier. And again, it just depends on your kind of situation. We have a lot of people with MS, and a lot of them, their big struggle is balance. They kind of can suddenly be thrown off or fall. And so this makes it a lot easier for that. They have kind of the bars that can hold them in place. They're seated. Also, we have a lot of seniors as well that use it, or the elderly, and they struggle a lot with balance as well, or even just being active. How can I be active and not risk my safety? So it really is a tool that can help out with different types of situations. That's also why we say it's not just for people with limited mobility. It's a tool to just stay active, to just be active in the day-to-day. And the fact that anyone can use it also takes away a lot of that stigma. Like when you see someone in a wheelchair, usually they're kind of dismissed, but it's like a sleek bike, and most people are like, ooh, where'd you get that? Where can I get one? Does it come in pink? I hope it comes in pink for me eventually. But it's just a lot of fun.
Have we discussed indoor use at all?
Indoor use. It's definitely safe to use indoors for sure.
Well, I imagine so, but I'm wondering, in my own curiosity, have mm-hmm. you ever had clients report maybe like getting flack from whoever for wanting to go into like a public institution, like a museum or a library, mm-hmm. and they're told, hey, like leave your scooter outside?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is where the fear factor comes in. People are afraid of what they don't know. So a lot of people will put our users on the spot and just kind of question them. This is where they usually call me and I give someone, I break some knowledge down. But this is also why I say that we're really a community, because we rely on the people that use the A-Linker to be advocates, because we are changing the way that we talk about disability, the way that we talk about things being accessible. And so they might be questioned. A lot of them either coming from a background where they have a chronic illness or they've been diagnosed, they're used to being subcategorized by the system. They just see it as normal. It's hard for them to advocate for themselves and say, no, actually, I can take up the space, because they're constantly being put into situations where they're told the opposite. So we kind of give our users a toolkit and say, hey, when you get on an airplane, you're actually allowed to bring it with you up until a certain point, if you so feel comfortable. If they offer you a wheelchair and for simply that day you don't have the energy of managing individuals who might have an issue with the A-Linker, go for it. But it's also your right to have it. So it really depends. I think it ends up coming down to the individual working more so than it will for like a company, an airline. They won't discontinue it. It'll just be the employee that day that might be in a bad mood, might want to pick on someone or just not know what it is. But that's also changing. Like, we recently got approved in Victoria to have the A-Linker on public transit. And this was because there was, again, a beautiful beautiful advocate who was using the A-Linker and just said, like, I found it really difficult. I felt like no one knew what it was and everyone was questioning me. I'm just trying to get home. But ended up meeting with the head of this transportation company. They kind of posted pictures for the rest of the staff and said, hey, when you see this, this is how you manage that. So it really is just a matter of learning and just being open and saying, like, hey, we can make our own rules here. And I'm glad that I work for and with people that are willing to push that. Yeah.
I need is I'm supposed to get a paper signed saying that I need a bathroom done. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to get money back from the government for it to be done. Mm-hmm. But my kind of knowledge is that I'm afraid that it won't happen, mm-hmm. because a lot of times they always say no, because it took 3 years before they even acknowledged me, saying that I was allowed.
Yeah, it's a lot of waiting.
It took three or 4 years before they even allowed me to have taxi service.
Mm-hmm. It's constantly a waiting game. There's so much waiting involved. There's made up procedures, and I think Montreal's a big fan of bureaucracy.
My first educator did it 3 times. Mm-hmm. Then my last tutor did it, and she got me in. But, you know, it's like,
it's a lot of hurdles.
You got a lot of hurdles. But it takes,
I'm just tired of people, you know, having overdue. And mm-hmm. it's all because she used my disability before this. And you can't mm-hmm. use your disability because you have... She used my disability for a taxi service. Mm-hmm. But they tell her that you're not allowed.
It's very odd. See, it's like everyone chooses how the rules are going to be played, right?
Yeah.
And it's just never consistent. And again, that's another stressor. So just don't
when
know how
they
to
said
act.
They said I ha- when they said oh, you know, because I can't do this and I can't do that, then they let me go.
Exactly. It's just very complicated.
Yeah. You know.
Oh boy.
Well, you can't cross because of this light, and you can't do that. Well, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got anxiety. Well, that's fine too.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's all just a matter of offering information about it, like in terms of anxiety, or if we're talking about mental health as well. Like again, there's a lot of stigma.
Like because I had anxiety, they said it was fine. I'm like, oh God. You know, that's the only reason I got taxi service.
So it sounds like quite the big project and process that it's going to require a lot of energies from
so much patience.
Activists.
My tub, the way my father wants to do it is he wants to make it like a square tub that's open, but it's a small bathroom.
That's also hard. Like,
yeah.
I just remember there was this forum or conference that they were talking about accessibility and inclusivity in Montreal. And ironically, the hall was completely inaccessible. The street was under renovation. It was on hidden in a building up two flights of stairs. No one could find it. I just walked in completely frustrated, and I'm a person who's able-bodied, and so it's just the complete disconnect between that, and also if we're talking about accessibility or inclusivity, Montreal right now is going through a lot of legislation in terms of making buildings more sustainable,
mm-hmm.
And yet when people try and make buildings accessible, somehow they see this as a separate issue. And to me, the fact that, again, we are trying to compartmentalize, we are trying to say that it is not priority, is baffling to me. Because
it is.
Everyone is affected by this if we don't make
it
accessible.
I need it so badly because I had surgery done in 2007, and I still need it because I can't really stand properly anymore.
Yeah.
And I bend my knees a lot when I take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
So, and... That's the worst part is when you bend in your knees to take a shower, okay?
Because you feel the pain of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's not the only part. And, okay, I have a thing that will stop my fall, but in the back. But that's not the point. The CLC gave it to me for free. And they gave me a toilet seat. But that's not the thing. Not knowing when you're going to fall.
Very.
Absolutely.
It's not knowing when you're going to fall.
Mm-hmm. When you're safe.
Poignantly articulated.
I'm your host, DJ Big Peter.
This is Claudia Rocks.
This is DJ Gundam Seat Destiny.
This is DJ Jerry.
This is DJ Tam, and we got DJ Grills behind the board.
And DJ Embassy. Megan is here also. It's been a total blast. I just want to say before we wrap up, thank you so much for having me. You guys are a lively bunch, and I'm so pleased to be here.
Wow.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure for us having you. So I guess we is there anything you want to talk to us about that we haven't talked about so far this show?
Sure. One thing that I just want to mention is that in the coming months, we're working on offering some A-Linker clinics. So most recently, we did a partnership with Centre Paul Roulant. They have a rooftop garden. They did some fundraising to make sure that it would be accessible to everyone. So they have an A-Linker on site that people can use, ride the elevator, and safely kind of appreciate the urban agriculture on their roof. So through this initiative, we're offering clinics that are open to the public to learn, one, how to ride the A-Linker safely, if it works best for them, and kind of the best way to benefit of it. So I'll definitely let your team know when those dates are. But A-Linker is new to Montreal. We're originally based in Vancouver, but now I'm part of the team that's here. So we're just looking to make connections in the accessibility community, talk about inclusivity. If you're asking me to give some advice to your listeners, talk about accessibility, folks, and try and be intersectional and inclusive. It's part of every conversation, every space. Baby. If it's not, it should be. So that's about it.
Well, yeah. So we'll definitely keep all our listeners posted about those coming up dates, and continue to strive to be intersectional and strive towards accessibility.
Right.
Woo.
Those are. Claudia, would you like to say something?
Right. Yes. We have to strive, like Cameron said. We do.
You're striving.
Yeah. Because without those people out there to have for accessibility, we wouldn't be who we are today.
Absolutely. And look at you. We have a radio show going on. I'm going to come by every week now.
And you know, and it's, and I'm sorry, but all you people out there that are listening right now,
give them to them straight.
Gonna give it to you straight and say, you better be listening today, because when she comes back, she's gonna have more to say.
Thank you.
More to say.
Thank you for making me an honorary DJ.
Yeah.
It's been a blast.
She's gonna have more to say. But we, I think we're gonna go with a song, and then we'll be right back.
Hello, this is DJ Jerry, and this is CJLO 1690 AM, and we're the Audio Pen Pals.
So, which other Audio Pen Pals do we have here in the studio?
This is Claudia Rocks.
DJ Big Peter.
And this is DJ Tam. Today we're joined by two great guests. Welcome to the show, Pam and Jen, DJ Greymouse.
Hello.
We'd like to begin by saying that the Audio Pen Pals is very honorably brought to you by the
Concordia Council for Student Life. We are using their funds to expand the program, and if you are interested in contributing to our radio project in any way, please email us at audiopenpals.cjlo@gmail.com.
You can also call us at 514-848-7471. Again, this is CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. So again, a big welcome to our guests. We're very excited to have them here with us. And we would like to ask them a bunch of questions.
So for context to our listeners, Pam is a current occupational therapy student at McGill University, and and she's going to talk to us a bit about occupational therapy. Do you have a question for Claudia?
Speaking. No. Where do I? So, How many years have you been?
Like in school?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost been 2 years now. Yeah, 2 years. And I have about 6 or 7 months more to go.
Home stretch.
Yeah, the last dregs of the marathon.
What is occupational therapy? Okay. What is covered in your classes?
Well, most people don't know what occupational therapy is. I'll call it OT from now on. So it's a really vast and confusing profession because it covers so many things. I'll give you like the really obvious traditional answer. If you had a grandma who had a hip replacement and suddenly she needs to know how to go home and shower safely and go to the bathroom safely and get in and out of the car safely, she probably saw an OT as part of her rehab at a hospital. Occupational therapists traditionally provide their work as clinicians, usually in clinics and hospitals and schools, and they provide rehabilitation. So basically, think about, you know, everything that you need to basically do all the things that you do every day. And that could be anything. And, you know, if you think of the word occupational, it's like a lot of people think it means work, but it actually just comes down to the root of like occupy. So like all that we do and all that occupies our time, you know, from taking a poop to showering to masturbating to having sex with your partner to making a meal to holding hands and walking on the beach to reading a book to going to work to going to school. An occupational therapist would help you to be able to do all those things despite, you know, disease or diagnosis or illness.
Speaking of all that, I went through all that 2 years ago, and I had to learn how to actually go up the stairs before I was allowed to go home. So I wasn't allowed to go home. I had actually a major surgery, open heart surgery, 2 years ago, and in 2017, and I wasn't allowed to go home until they saw that I could walk up the stairs properly and do all the things that you would do at home, like eat, go to the bathroom, and actually walk. They had a special kind of chair, a special stairs, I should say. There weren't many, but every day I had to learn how to walk again because I was always in the bed. So, and when you have surgery, your legs become immobile. Mm-hmm. So now you're learning how to walk again. Mm-hmm. What's there? So somebody's there to teach you how to walk again.
Hmm. Well, that's really amazing that you had to go through all that. And
I did.
I'm sorry that you had to go through all that.
It was not my favorite thing, but I did it because I had no choice. But, you know, but the moral end to the story is that I was a survivor, and I survived because I had good friends that were there for me.
Definitely.
And the, I guess, the professionals that help you through your recovery.
Right. Right.
So occupational therapy sounds like a very multifaceted discipline if you're doing everything from like helping people with mobility to helping people with like any task in their life. What do you have an area of focus? What like has drawn you to this kind of work?
Well, I came into it as an artist, and I was really interested in like how occupational therapy looks at all the dimensions that makes us human and that makes our reality.
and I was more drawn to occupational justice, which is basically, and occupational science, which is basically looking at like all the factors that play come into account that give people, you know, their abilities and their rights to participate and meaningful activities. So, you know, there's a lot of people that they don't get to choose what they do for work. They don't get to participate, for example, accessing a metro system because of actual physical barriers in the environment. So I like how occupational therapy looks at both, like, what helps us accomplish what we want to do, but also what holds us back. For example, be it physical barriers, like, you know, stairs can be a major barrier for someone who uses a wheelchair or doesn't have the ability to climb those stairs or down those stairs. And I like to look at how we can change the environment and change the society to be more inclusive, instead of just looking at how can we fix the individual.
Claudia, mm-hmm. when you were experiencing what you experienced 2 years ago, mm-hmm. did you see an OT?
Yeah.
What did you two do together?
We worked on the stairs, and the stairs were the main goal for me to go home, he said. If I can use the stairs properly, then I can go home. And without that, I would not be allowed to go home. Before I was allowed to go home. So when I got the okay to go home, was back July 12th. Then I said, okay. So until I was allowed to go home, he was mainly every day I would have to learn how. There were like 3 or 4 steps I had to go up and down, just to make sure that I wasn't gonna fall. Because if you fall, it's a sign that you need like a walker or something to hold on still, because you're not strong enough to hold yourself up. So
definitely occupational therapy, like they'll definitely look at, like, you know, are you safe in your environment, and like what can we change in your environment to make it safer. And so they definitely look a lot at fall prevention.
So when I was going home, they told my father to get a wheelchair, so because at that point they didn't want me walking. At first, they didn't want me moving around as much as I doing now.
And Claudia, so when you met the OT, when you met the OT, did you start right away?
Oh yeah,
going up these boxes. How did the relationship start?
They were actual stairs. They weren't. They were actually stairs. They looked like stairs, but they were like three or four stairs. They look like kind of like that. We have 1, 2, 3 stairs, and they were 4 stairs, and they would go. You would climb up them. They had like a handbar on the side, and you would hold on to the handle, and the guy wouldn't let you go. He would hold you until he felt that you were safe, until he felt that you could do it on your own. And if you couldn't do it on your own, he would still hold you until he said to me, I'm not going to let you go unless I feel that you're safe, because until I feel you're safe enough to do it on your own, because or else you're going to fall. If I can see you can do it on your own, then I'll let you go. Because I always wanted to do it on my own.
Right. And that was a typical session?
Yeah. Every morning.
How long would you...
Like,
how
we would do it once or twice, and then I would go back to my room.
Did the occupational therapist do anything to make it fun?
No.
And special for
no.
you?
No.
Oh, that's too
bad. We would just talk.
Okay. Did you enjoy your time talking with him?
Yeah. But nothing.
What'd you talk about?
Oh, just about how I wanted to go home. And let's say our goodbyes. See you. Bye. From Claudia Rocks.
Hello.
This. Goodbye from DJ Big Peter. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye, Gundam Seed Destiny.
This is bye from DJ Tam.
Bye from DJ Grey Mouse.
Goodbye
Grills
from DJ
Grills also
Pound
is
Cantor.
Waving goodbye to me.
And this is DJ Jerry saying bye.